Hi, I'm Joy Manning, editor of Edible Philly.
And I'm Marisa McClellan, author of Food in Jars.
Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk shop with obsessed home cooks everywhere. This week, we're talking about purple carrot meal kits, scrambled eggs techniques, and eating vegetables out of season. But first, let's compare notes on something we read this week. Can you believe it?
I can, actually. I totally can. But
bad news for salad lovers. Bagged romaine lettuce has been suspected as the cause of an E. coli outbreak, and a particularly bad one. In Canada, somebody died.
Oh, God.
So I read about it in USA Today, and it said 13 states were affected. So at first I thought, oh, maybe it's not my state. But of course, Pennsylvania is on the list.
Of course.
Even more frustrating, there's no official recall. The CDC is unable to recommend whether we should toss our romaine or not. But the food safety people at Consumer Reports have advised readers to avoid it altogether until the cause of the outbreak has been definitively identified. So,
yeah, that's frustrating.
I think I read this really like right after I purchased a bag of romaine.
Oh, no.
Lettuce, which is on my, it's like on my regular shopping list.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you use it too, don't you?
I go back and forth. Huh. I didn't have any when this came out, and so I was able to avoid it. I did have a big box of like spring mix in my fridge, but that wasn't one of the things, and it didn't have any romaine in it. But I actually heard about this first. I was watching an Instagram story, and someone I follow was talking about it because she had 13 heads. Like, she had a bunch of those bags. Like
a Costco?
Yeah.
Oh, or just some bulk supply of the three hearts.
And she was so frustrated because she's someone who's doing sort of an elimination diet right now for health reasons. It's one of the few things she could eat. And she'd spent all this money on it. And then the announcement comes out, the non-recall. And she was like, I can't even feed it to my chickens. I don't even know if I can compost it.
I actually wondered that. Yeah. It's still in my fridge. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you were – okay, well, let me tell you a potentially crazy thing I thought, which was literally – in the hours before I read it, I had eaten some romaine from a previous bag that I had purchased, and I didn't get sick. And so I did think about it in the absence of an official recall. I was like, I can probably just chance it. But then I was like, no, that's what you would have done, right?
I would have thrown it away. I would have not.
You would not have eaten it.
I've had food poisoning enough in my life to not want to risk it if I have any knowledge ahead of time.
Right. So,
and I'm sensitive to stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's anything going around that has a stomach component, I get it. So,
and yeah, that's a good question about the composting. I wonder if I can even compost it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the heat generated in the composting process is high enough to kill E. coli.
I guess the safest thing to do is just throw it out.
Yeah.
But what a bummer. I do use it heavily in the winter for a salad base.
It's a workhorse.
But I guess I will be going without it and using instead our friend cabbage as my main salad base for a while.
Out of season butter lettuce is also a really good substitute.
I love butter lettuce, but I find that you have to be really on top of using it or else it goes bad. Whereas romaine, you know how romaine, you can just let it hang out there for like seriously 2 weeks and it's still good.
And even if the outside gets a little slimy, you just peel those leaves off and eat what's inside.
That's one thing I love about the romaine hearts. They really last.
Yeah.
You can't love something that's potentially going to send you to the hospital or an early grave.
True enough.
So hopefully they'll figure that out soon.
I hope so.
Anyway, let's move on to some type of cheerier topic.
Yes.
And what could be more cheery than eggs?
I love them. I know you do too, although you don't eat them as much as you used to.
I do have a thing going with eggs. I never eat eggs for breakfast anymore because, like, I don't enjoy them as much then. You know when I really enjoy them, it turns out? Like in a soup.
Yeah.
Or like something with dinner. That's when I splurge on my eggs. But let's talk a little bit about how you scramble your eggs.
Yes. So this technique, totally born out of laziness, and it's also something my mom used to do when I was a kid, also, I believe, born out of laziness. I break my whole eggs into the pan, and I use a spatula, and I break them apart, and I scramble them, and then I turn the heat on, and then I cook them.
Oh, you scramble them in the cold pan.
I can't scramble them in the cold pan.
You do?
I do.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So
a nonstick pan, obviously.
Nonstick, yes. So I'm using a nonstick pan.
Wait. What about the fat aspect of it?
Well, I put a little knob of butter in the pan, and it's just cold sitting there as I scramble the eggs, beat them up, and then I turn the heat on and it melts into the eggs and they cook and they're delicious.
Oh, that would not be possible in anything but a nonstick pan.
That's true. That is true. When you're working with, you know,
carbon steel
or cast iron, you need the oil in the hot pan. But, you know, a lot of us still make eggs in nonstick.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
And basically this... So Scott is back on. For a while, he wasn't eating eggs in the morning. But now on Weight Watchers, eggs up until a certain point are point-free.
Is this a recent change?
Yeah, this is another one of the recent changes.
Okay.
So he's back to eating eggs in the morning. And I will often just get up and scramble him some eggs before work. Because for me, it serves as a, like, hey, Marisa, get out of bed. It gets me awake before he leaves for work, which makes my day better. Because if he leaves and I'm still asleep... I have a real hard time getting up. So anyway, but I'm half asleep.
I could never sleep through Dan getting up, having breakfast, getting dressed and leaving for work. I could never sleep through that.
I have slept through Scott, like, leaving the house, and then it's 10 a.m. and I've just woken up. So getting up to make him breakfast really helps me sort of become conscious. Because it's like I could sleep all morning if you gave me the opportunity. But anyway. So I'm half asleep in the kitchen. I'm making him scrambled eggs. And at that time of the day, I don't want to get out a bowl and break them and whisk them and then have a... So it's like by doing them in the pan, I save two implements. I'm not mm-hmm. using a fork and I'm not using a bowl. And by doing it in a cold pan, they get well integrated before they start to cook. Now, when I was a kid, my mom did this for me and she did the same sort of lazy scrambled egg method. She did not do it in a cold pan. She was using nonstick, but she'd turn on the heat, get the eggs in. And so there would be these sort of large drifts of whites mm-hmm. that I, as a kid, found very unpleasant. And so when I do this, I make sure that I get them well beaten before they start to cook.
Dan says that the whites are like a punishment you have to endure to get to eat the yolks.
And it works really well. And it makes like the process of cooking eggs from start to finish, like 3 minutes, two implements, done.
I don't usually do it that way. I usually break the eggs into a bowl and beat them with a fork.
Yeah.
And then lately I've been trying a recipe I read about in Milk Street, which is you get olive oil in a pan and you get it really hot, like very hot.
Yeah.
And then you scramble them super fast. And I think it does make like a fluffy, yummy egg.
Yeah.
But I go back and forth with different ways of doing it. Like, do you salt the eggs right when you scramble them, or do you salt them only when they start cooking? I've been pretty much off butter even when I'm making eggs, so I've been using olive oil as my cooking fat. I think maybe I have tried it your way once or twice, having talked to you about it. Maybe if I'm like adding scrambled eggs to like a stir fry or like a fried rice,
yeah,
I will do it that way in that case.
It's funny, I don't do this if I want to put anything in the eggs. So like if I want to like saute onions or spinach mm-hmm. or something before I put in, then I will always beat the eggs in a bowl separately. Because in that case, I really want that unified yolk white kind of, I want it to be mostly emulsified before it hits the heat. But for those like 7:30 a.m., just got to cook some eggs kind of a deal, it works really well.
When do you add your salt or pepper?
I typically do it at the end, not mm-hmm. for any major reason other than that's when I think about it.
Some people think that adding salt too soon makes your eggs tough. I don't know if I've ever noticed that, but
I think the only thing that makes eggs tough is too much cooking.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if you really salt them. I will say that most of the time I'm not like a great egg connoisseur. So like as long as they taste good, they're fine. And also these are eggs that we put in a container and then Scott takes to work with him.
Oh, wow.
So
why doesn't he just eat them at home?
I don't know.
I feel like it takes longer to cook eggs than it does to make them, eat them.
I don't know. He wants to just take them and go. So they're not like, they're taking 15 minutes of travel anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
It's not going to be like the pinnacle of culinary experience.
I wouldn't be surprised if he zapped them in the microwave for a minute when he gets to work.
Oh, geez.
But I have eaten them straight from the pan, like right out of the pan onto like a piece of toast or something with this technique. And they're delightful scrambled eggs. Totally acceptable.
Good to know.
Anyway.
I might try it if I need to save time.
I really am curious if other people do it this way or what people – I mean, I know that it's in violation of everything that like every French cook
right. well,
recommends.
They
but.
Are pretty bossy, those French cooks. I have been dying to tell you about purple carrot.
I am so excited to hear about it.
So, you know, purple carrot is a plant-based delivery meal kit service like Blue Apron or what are the other famous ones?
Plated.
Yeah. I think we're all, especially podcast listeners, are like well familiar with these services at this point.
They do advertise a lot.
Having come off like a really stressful holiday season, I just thought to myself, I need to give myself a break from something. And I've been very curious about Purple Carrot. And I thought, I'm going to just order this up. And then I will be off the hook for meal planning, you know, for the better part of a week.
And it's a huge help to just have that, to have the food show up and know you have something to make for dinner. So
right. Yeah, I was excited to try the recipes. The recipes looked really great. So the box came on Tuesday. And when I opened the door, I was surprised to see a box the size of like a moving box. Very big.
A lot of packaging.
I cut into it. Now, packaging. Everyone talks about the packaging. And I was very prepared for all the little individual boxes and bags that the ingredients would be in. I was totally prepared for that.
Yeah.
Here's what I was not prepared for. The inside that huge. Okay. So box the size of a moving box.
Mm-hmm.
The actual groceries that I got fit in one crisper drawer.
Oh, wow.
So I was not prepared to open that box and see like enough insulation to like insulate a tiny house.
How did Dan feel about that? He was...
Let's just pause okay. on that part of it. And then the ice pack was more like a gigantic ice block.
Yeah.
Okay. So I put the ice block in my downstairs chest freezer thinking I might somehow use that for something in the future. And the also with the insulation, like maybe it could be used for padding to transport something. But I was like, if I got this box every week for a year, I'd have to move because my whole house would be taken over with ice blocks and insulation because Dan would never consent to throwing those things away. So I unpacked the box. I hid everything, the packaging, so that my husband would not totally freak out. Then I went upstairs to my computer and immediately canceled.
Oh, wow.
Because I just knew that I could not have another box like this come to my house. I said to them in my cancellation email, I'm really excited to cook this food. And I think that you should consider some kind of situation where when the delivery person drops off the box, they just take the old packaging and like reuse it or something. Yeah. But this cannot be, I just can't have this. Like, so, and I just let it go. I just did try not to dwell on it. And then that night I started cooking from my box, which was fun. I mean, it was pretty fun. First up was a Vietnamese tofu bowl.
Okay.
I have a few small complaints and a few really valuable things that came out of this cooking experience, not the least of which was the fact that our dinner was just so tasty. So basically, this dish was rice. It was like a rice bowl with spring mix greens in it, some pan-fried tofu, and like a quick pickle. Point of contention number one. It was advertised as being bamboo rice. Have you ever had bamboo rice?
No.
It's green. It's like really interesting. But I didn't get bamboo rice. I got sticky rice.
Oh, that's not fair.
So there's that. Also, the instructions and the photos didn't match. Like, one of the things that they are always talking about with these meal kits is, like, you get photos, like, it really walks you through the process. And obviously, I'm an experienced cook, not a big deal for me. But, like, the tofu, for example, was set. You were instructed to cut it into triangles, but in the picture, it showed you cubes.
Huh.
Okay, so moving on. The recipe included sriracha, mm-hmm. but the sriracha was not in my box. So there's like a sriracha aioli that you use to sort of sauce your bowl at the end. I have sriracha, no big deal, but.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of this is that they include everything that you need. Typically,
I'm sure it was just a mistake in packing, but like if I did not have that bottle of sriracha, I would have been super annoyed.
Yeah. So already two things are not right.
And one more thing that I think as a pickle lover, you may object to. I certainly did. Okay, so what is the role that a pickle plays in a rice bowl or a grain bowl in your mind?
It's a garnish. It's like, I mean, it might be no more than a couple tablespoons to kind of balance.
True. What I like about a pickle in a grain bowl is like the contrast of like cold, crisp pickle with your warm, like sticky rice and fried tofu.
Yeah, it's the cold, crisp, like bright, sweet, tangy, crunchy.
So this recipe has you putting your pickles on your rice bowl hot. Hot pickles. You boiled water, added some vinegar, sugar, and salt, like just like you would expect with a quick pickle, except then you just plop it on your rice bowl, and it's hot.
That's not right.
Not right. I mean, like, the ideal thing would be, like, don't make this dish first. You make the pickles when you're making some other dish, and then you put them in the fridge. But
yeah.
Anyway. So, okay, that's the bad.
Okay.
Let me tell you about the good, though.
Okay.
They instruct you to just – this recipe instructs you to simply dredge your tofu in potato flour before frying.
Yeah.
And wow, did it make a big difference with my tofu.
Really?
I will always do it this way from now on. It really made it more brown, more crisp, more flavorful. Such a small, simple, easy thing made a big difference. Thank you, Purple Carrot recipe developers. I really will always be doing that in the future. The other thing is sticky rice. Like, as much as I wish it was bamboo rice, I'd never really made sticky rice at home.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah, I love sticky rice.
I really will use it in just that way in the future. And as I said, like, this was a really tasty dinner. I loved it. I will also say, like, these are supposedly portioned for two, but, like, I definitely had, like, we ate all the tofu, but there was rice and pickles left over, which I used with an avocado the next day for lunch. So that's fine.
And were the pickles better then?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Now, let me tell you about the second meal, red curry ramen.
Okay.
This meal was a fail.
Oh, no.
I scrutinized this recipe multiple times. There was no broth. Like, at the end of the day, first of all, it came with a 10-ounce package of noodles, fresh noodles. So, like, 5 ounces of noodles per person is too much.
Yeah.
And then the broth was, like, maybe a half a cup per person. So it wasn't soup. It was so weird.
That is weird.
You got this little 5-ounce can of coconut milk. There was, like, a couple tablespoons of curry paste. And then you were instructed to add a half cup of water. And that was the broth. It's like, there's something wrong with this recipe. That said, I thought of it more as like a saucy noodle, like a sauced noodle dish with like edamame, and it had carrots in it, and I was perfectly happy to eat it. But anyway, so that was like a big issue. My third, I have a lot to get off my chest.
No, here. I'm fascinated. Go for it.
The third dish is the soca pizza, which I haven't made yet.
I love soca.
Okay, so some other higher level thoughts that I had about a meal kit. This meal kit Tell system me. And probably others. I like to have leftovers. Like that Vietnamese tofu bowl, in a perfect world, I would have made twice as much tofu, twice as much rice, and we would have just had it again the next night. You know, yeah. I'm not into cooking once, eating once. I'm into cooking once, eating more than once. And then because I do cook a lot, a lot of the stuff that came in the box and it's like 2 tablespoon package, like I already had, you know, probably 50% of the stuff that they sent me, I already had. I don't think it's for me. I don't think meal kits are for me, but I will definitely pay close attention to Purple Carrot's recipes because I got such a great idea from that.
Yeah.
Vietnamese tofu bowl recipe.
I have had similar feelings around meal kits that I've done in the past. I've only used Blue Apron. I will say that I've never had anything left out. There have been substitutions, but it's always been on the like they will always put in the recipe card. You will if you don't receive the purple cabbage that's pictured here, you will have received this other one.
Still, that's better.
Yeah. The packaging is always an issue, but I don't think these things are designed for people who actually cook.
No, I know. What about the portion? Did you find it really served two, or was it more than two?
I found that most of the time it served two, but that occasionally, like you said, there was like leftover starch.
Right. I guess that they don't want people to be complaining that they're hungry after they eat their meal kit meal.
And especially with something that doesn't include any meat.
Right.
You've got to include enough for people to feel like they're getting their value.
True. It's true. It's people's appetites are very individual. I can understand the position that they're in. But I'm really glad I tried it.
Yeah.
And I would, if they had a system that wasn't so packaging heavy, I could see myself doing it again. But not with all, especially the insulation was like, it was crazy.
I think the thing, some grocery stores, I haven't seen it so much in the city, but I've seen it at certain like suburban grocery stores where they have like, you can just buy like a little stapled grocery bag and it's got the recipe clip to it and all the ingredients for that dish are in the bag. And
that's
that
cool.
Might be a better way, you know, if you were doing this some other time and just needed to kind of put it on autopilot, grabbing a bag like that at Whole Foods or something might be a good way to go.
I read, you know, I'm a fan of Phil Lempert, Supermarket Guru. Mm-hmm. And I think it was last year when he was making predictions for the year ahead, he said the future of the meal kit is just exactly that in supermarkets. It makes so much more sense. So anyway, that's my full Purple Carrot review. Recommend it with reservations, I would say. And definitely there are recipes. Like if they had a cookbook out, I would like buy it right away. Just based on the how, like what a eye-opening game changer the potato starch on tofu is. Like genius.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about produce.
Would you say that we are now really in the dead of winter?
Yeah, I think we are what's considered kind of the low point. There's not a lot that's coming in seasonally. You know, we've got a ways to go before we're going to see anything, including like rhubarb or, you know, garlic scapes. Like we've got a ways to go before we see anything local and fresh.
The only thing local that I've been eating lately is like storage apples and mushrooms.
Yeah, I've gotten some like tunnel kale. Like grown in hoop houses. I got some locally grown sprouts, like sunflower seed sprouts. Nice. But it's real, there's not a lot right now.
So this, you know that I have had been on a big push to improve my heart health. And part of that is eating lots of vegetables. So I just have had to just give myself permission to buy, import it from South America, out of season supermarket produce as much as my heart desires.
Yeah.
Would you say that you go that far or not quite?
I have two cantaloupes from Guatemala in my refrigerator right now.
For recipe testing?
No, because Scott doesn't like a lot of fruit, but one of the kinds of fruits he likes is cantaloupe. So, you know, whenever we see it and it's looks pretty good.
That's the key thing. I guess this all started when I was, I picked up a recipe development assignment for the April issue of Men's Health, seasonal vegetables, and it's all about asparagus. So I was developing asparagus recipes in December, and not only is the asparagus completely out of season and non-local, it doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely like the worst for wear, yet I needed to buy a lot of it anyway because of the fact that I had to develop these recipes. And it's hard to overstate how much I loved eating these recipes. I was really happy to be eating asparagus, and I think that is what broke open the floodgates for me.
I get that.
So now I'm almost like, it's very liberating. It's kind of almost like a weird kid in a candy store effect where like, it's like cauliflower, bell peppers. I've always made an exception when it comes to like grape and cherry tomatoes. Yeah. So what kind of stuff do you buy when you're buying out of season produce?
I bought like a big bag. So we went to Costco over the weekend and I bought a big bag of like pre-chopped broccoli florets and I made a big pot of soup with them, and that was great and it was easy. I mean, basically I've come to the point in my sort of shopping habits where I give myself permission to buy just about any produce I want, because we eat a lot of it, one can only eat so much kale or Brussels sprout in January. And because you just got to let yourself go sometimes. And if vegetables are where you're letting yourself go.
I've been buying a lot of these mini cucumbers packed on styrofoam under plastic.
Yeah.
God forgive me. Dan forgive me. But I love them.
I know.
And they're so fragrant and good.
The little Persian ones. Yes. Yeah, they're delicious. Yeah, I buy those. I buy lots of like cilantro.
Yeah, herbs.
Yeah.
It's.
And there used to be a time when I like every winter participated in the Dark Days Challenge and ate only cooked local meals and ate them and blogged about them. One can only eat so many potatoes.
Yeah. And I mean, this is why the romaine non-recall has been so hard on me, because like that has been the basis of my salads. And now I don't have it, but
it's tough. I know.
I just cannot be without abundant vegetables, I guess.
I mean, I'm still eating cabbage and I'm still eating local kale. I'm buying local vegetables whenever I can.
Have you been to Head House lately?
I haven't been to Head House, but the Rittenhouse Farmers Market has been still pretty abundant. Carrots.
Oh, really?
Parsnips.
That's nice. Yeah. I should come up here on Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's a good market.
I don't ever go there, but I do sometimes. I have hit Head House. But not since before the holidays. I'm maybe I'll go back this weekend.
Yeah.
See what I can
The other one I want to check out is Winter Fair.
Oh, right. It's starting this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Heather from Primal Supply. They're doing it at the Bach building this year.
I don't know how much produce there will be there. River Wards will be there. Yeah. But still, that's a...
In past years, they always had produce, even if it was just like, you know, high tunnel kale and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's starting. It's like, I think, four or five times over the winter. I'll be there on a couple of occasions because Edible Philly will have a table.
Awesome.
Anyway, so let's talk about another out-of-season item.
Yeah.
Avocados. I've probably mentioned this on the podcast before, but in my neighborhood, there used to be a wonderful Mexican-run corner grocery called La Fortuna. And I know the word curate is overused, but I feel that they really curated their avocado offering such that they had avocados on display in like three stages of readiness. One, ready to eat right now. One, getting ripe. One, very hard.
Which is amazing. Nobody does that.
Right. I mean, so for many years, I felt like I could just have beautiful avocados on demand. But they closed. And since then, avocados have not been such a regular part of my diet, much to my dismay. I love avocados.
Yeah.
But I noticed Acme has been my Acme, which is like our local non-luxury grocer. I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's a very typical American supermarket. Actually, it's kind of stinks as a grocery store. But nonetheless, they've had these bags of avocados with at a reasonable price, less than $1 per avocado, which if you shop for avocados, you know that's pretty reasonable. They're sold quite hard, pretty unripe.
Yeah.
And another noticeable feature is these avocados are quite smaller than the ones that you often see. And I suspect that they're bagged up like this to move them because people don't want, like, you know, an off-size item is undesirable or considered undesirable. But these have been really working for me because I just let them ripen. I have like a four or five of them at a clip. And then I have found them to be always good. Like, none of them are ever rotten or like – and then when I came here when I came here today, I was like, Marisa, you have them.
Well, and I spotted them at Trader Joe's this week and you had already put them on the content schedule. And so I thought I should buy these. And yeah, they're marketing them as teeny tiny, like single serve avocados or snack size avocados, which is brilliant because I only ever eat half an avocado.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another half and it gets a little funky in the fridge. And so the idea of having an avocado, we can finish the whole thing and not have a piece of it go weird.
Exactly.
Is brilliant.
Really good for avocado. You can use the whole thing on an avocado toast for breakfast or, you know,
dice it up into a salad or something.
It's great for it to add to a salad. You need two for a decent amount of guacamole, but still, I mean, I'm going to keep buying them. I think they're really great. Well, I love having something in a single serving portion.
And it's also great because those bags of avocados you can buy that have five or six in them, they ripen all at the same time and then you have a lot of avocado to use. Whereas these, they ripen all at the same time, but I feel like you can go through them faster.
Keep an eye on yours. I have found mine have not been ripening all at the same time. Usually one or two is ahead.
Oh, that's great.
And then I'm sure you know this, but maybe everybody listening doesn't. When avocados start to ripen, you want to put them in the fridge because it's really slows down the process and you can hold them much longer.
Yeah, I always do that.
I've had no avocado gone to waste since I've been buying these packs now, probably for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the more avocado in my life, the better, is what I have to say.
I agree. I love an avocado. So before we sign off, I just want to remind everyone that our ebook, Resolution Recipes, is available for sale. If you go to localmouthful.com/shop, you will find it. And we've been getting really good feedback from people. So we're excited to share this with you. And it's $5. So if you need a little reset for your cooking, it's a really good option. And that's it for this week's installment of Local Mouthful. Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing the show, to Saul Rosenbaum for designing our logo, and to Raina Rose for providing the music. And thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Local Mouthful. Sign up for our newsletter, catch up on past episodes, and check out our show notes at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.